Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We are located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're so glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is truly a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, Grateful for God's Timing.
As we continue this year-long series that God has given us on the word grateful, one word. Grateful. Look at someone and say, grateful. Sometimes you don't need a whole lot of words. Amen. Old folks say, if you talk too much, you start lying. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you just got to keep it short and simple. Amen. Just tell the Lord, I'm grateful. I am grateful. In this month of July, we have shared with you messages that highlight what we are grateful for. We're grateful to know him. Last week we said we are grateful for every season of our lives. In this third week in July, God has given us another reason why we are grateful and what we are grateful for. The book of Habakkuk is where the text is found. Second chapter, verses 2 and 3. Amen. Verses 2 and 3. We're reading this morning from the New International Reader's Version. It is a different translation than we have used before, but it is a powerful translation. You will see as we read the text why we've chosen that version, the New International Reader's Version. Habakkuk chapter 2, begin reading at verse 2. The Lord replies, write down the message I am giving you. He says to Habakkuk, write it clearly on the tablets you use. Then a messenger can read it and run to announce it. The message, here's where the subject is found, the message I give you waits for the time I have appointed. Look at somebody and say, it waits for the right time. It speaks about what is going to happen, and all of it will come true. It might take a while, but wait for it. That word is for someone right now. You all help me encourage somebody and say, it might take a while, but wait for it. You can be sure, the text says, it will come. Look at the last sentence of this text. This is why I chose this version of the Bible. The last sentence of the text says, it will happen, God says, when I want it to. Oh, did you? I need you to encourage somebody and say, God says it will happen when he wants it to. Amen. We ask his blessings on the reading and the hearing of his word. For the next few moments, I want to talk to you from the subject, grateful for God's timing. Look at somebody as you take your seat and says, neighbor, I cannot speak for you, but I am so grateful for God's timing. You may be seated. Grateful. Somebody feel a shout already. Woo! The old church says, you can't hurry God. No, you just gotta wait. You got to trust him and never doubt. Amen. How many of you know you can't hurry God? He's a God that you can't hurry. He'll be there. Just don't worry. Woo. Wave at two or three people and say, just wait on God's timing. I am grateful. I am grateful, grateful, grateful for God's timing. Ooh. I want y'all to know that we had to get up out of here at 8. We had church. The 8 o'clock folk, they're praising God. Maybe y'all too hot at 11 or something. I see everybody fanning. It's hot, but it's all right. We still can have church. Amen, somebody. Amen. Listen, one of the greatest challenges that many of us as people of faith often struggle with, and you'll notice that when I use these kind of phrases, I don't exclude anyone. I say us, which includes me as well. Not just you, but look at somebody and say, we all struggle with learning how to wait on God's timing. Am I right about it? Sometimes that is a struggle. To just learn how to hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battles. And just wait until God gets ready. We often find ourselves expecting immediate responses to our prayers and to our plea for deliverance. It may be deliverance from a situation, maybe healings, maybe something we're going through. Find ourselves praying and expecting God to move right away. That does not always happen. But we have, as a people, particularly in this age that we're living in, we have come to expect instant solutions. We've been spoiled because everything is at our hand, in our hands and at our fingertips. You can just ask Google and you can find out anything. What time does the restaurant close? How do I get over here? Who is so? Is Pastor telling the truth when he says this? Google will fact check you and it will give you instant answers. That has spoiled us because we sometimes have come to expect it, and when it doesn't come to pass right away, somebody say right away, we become disappointed and often becomes frustrated. And even sometimes we are downright angry at God. Can I just keep it real? Sometimes we develop an attitude with God because God refuses to give us what we ask for when we want it or when we ask for it. However, it is important for us to understand that God does not operate on our own personal timelines. He doesn't owe us any sense of time to bless us. His promises may at times seem to be out of reach. His promises sometimes at times seem to be slow. Seems as if they are delayed. However, they are never too late. Whenever God blesses you, that is the right time. Whatever God says, I'll do it. And when he does it, then it is the right time. God's timing is always perfect. I want you to hear me. Look at someone and say, it is always perfect. As the song says, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Is there anybody in here who is a living witness that God is an on-time God? Look at someone and say, yes, he is. It may be slow. It may have been delayed. It may come 3 or 4 days later. Lazarus died. Jesus told his disciples, let us go back and see about my friend Lazarus. But he had already been dead. But it was still on time for a miracle. Ooh, somebody in here has been waiting for a while. God told me to tell you it's never too late for a miracle. Can I preach to someone right now who knows that it is never too late for God to do what God has promised to do? The good news is that although it may be delayed, it may be slow, but God's timing is worth the wait. Everybody cannot perhaps testify, but there are some in here this morning or this afternoon who know that God's timing is worth the wait. All I need is just a handful of witnesses. Just. Everybody doesn't have to stand up. Just somebody that just want folk to know that you're looking at somebody that had to wait on God's timing. And I've discovered that it was worth the wait. Anybody know it's worth the wait? Because when we try to figure it out, we try to work it out, we often mess it up. Amen. I would rather wait on God's perfect timing than to rush and try to do it ourselves and make a mess a bigger mess. That's what happens when you don't trust and wait on God. But if you know how to just tell God, God, I trust your timing. I am waiting on you no matter how long it takes. Folk ask you, when are you going to get blessed? When God gets ready. when will you ever get your deliverance? When God says so. Sometimes you don't even know it, but you are next in line for a miracle. Can I preach to somebody right now? For the man at the pool of Bethesda said, every time I tried to make it to the pool, somebody jumped in front of me. But what he did not realize was that day he was next in line. Because when God blesses you, can't no enemy from the pit of hell prevent what God has in store for you. Oh, is there anybody know that it's worth the wait? I just need a handful of people to help me testify to God and stand, throw your hands up and say, Lord, I don't mind waiting. Whew. I've come too far to turn back now. God has brought you too far for you to give up now. You've got to trust not only what God will do, but you have to trust the time in which God chooses to do what he is going to do. In our text, this incredible text that is recorded in the book of Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk writes this as he talks in the text about the significance of God's timing. The book of Habakkuk is a unique prophetic book found in the Old Testament. First of all, it only consists of 3 short chapters. The book shares with us the personal struggles of a man of God who was ordained to be a prophet by the name of Habakkuk. People who are ordained and people who are used by God go through stuff always. They go through stuff, don't they? Just because you are blessed doesn't mean that you don't have to struggle. So the prophet Habakkuk, a prophetic miracle or wonder, someone who had the prophetic anointing on his life, found himself in the midst of a personal struggle to maintain his faith in the goodness of God. He was about to lose it. He struggled because what he saw around him depressed him. So much corruption, so much evil that was happening all around him. And this book, unlike many of the prophets of his era and many of the prophetic writings in the Old Testament, is unique because the prophet Habakkuk does not speak directly to the people of Israel. Most of them do, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they do. He speaks to God. This is a personal, raw dialogue between the prophet and God. He let it all out. He puts it all out there, and he talks and have a conversation with God. He expresses his disappointment with God, expresses his disappointment with what was going on around him. And in this incredible three-chapter dialogue with God, Habakkuk shares his displeasure with what he thought God was not doing during that time. In fact, chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3, the prophet writes these words to the Lord. This is a personal dialogue between a man and God. He says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help?" This is his first complaint. The book of Habakkuk records at least two, maybe three, but two for sure, separate complaints. His first one was this: "How long must I call for help, but you have not listened? Violence is everywhere. Lord, I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Whenever I look, I see destruction and I see violence." And then he writes this sentence. If I didn't know better, I would think that he lived in 2026. "I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight." Some of y'all ought to say amen, Habakkuk. "Everywhere I go, Lord, in my family, on my job, even when I come to church, folk want to argue and fight. I'm tired of it, Lord. Tired of watching people argue and fight and get mad over stuff. I'm tired of watching those who are wicked seem that they're blessed more than those who are righteous. How come those who trust you seem to suffer more than those who have no relationship with you? Don't you sit there and act cute and deep." Some of you had that kind of dialogue with God. "Lord, how come they got more than I do and they don't ever go to church? How come they seem to be more blessed than I am and they don't ever seem to worship you?" Habakkuk said, "Lord, you've got to help me understand this. Before I can talk to your people, I need to talk to you. Tell you, God, I've got a problem with you, Lord." So here's the problem. If you confront God, you better be prepared for the answer. God answers Habakkuk's first complaint in chapter 1, in verse, 5 and 6. I just want to go to that briefly. He answers him and tells him, "Look, I know what I'm doing. God says, I know what I'm doing. Chapter 1 of Habakkuk, verses 5 and 6, the New Living Translation and the King James Version. Let me paraphrase it for you. God answers him and says, I will work a work in your day that you won't believe it even though you see it. In other words, tell somebody, God is working it out even when you don't know it. And you don't see it. Woo! Somebody ought to give God a praise for working out a situation that you don't even know he's working it out. God said, I'm working on it, but you don't even see it. In fact, you don't always have to see what God is doing. God is changing some evil hearts in your family, and you don't even know it. God is about to reposition you on your job and you don't even know it. Some of you are getting ready for the next big promotion and you haven't even applied for it. God says, I'm about to change your situation around and you don't even know it. You ought to give God a praise of faith over what God is about to do. You've got 20 seconds to give God your best faith praise. And so here's what God says to Habakkuk. He says, I will punish the wicked. I will punish even those who are hypocritical. But then Habakkuk did not appreciate God's method. God says, I am raising up the Babylonians that will come and they will punish those who have been disobedient, who are people who are supposed to be committed to me. Habakkuk said, wait a minute, Lord. You're going to use people that are more evil than the ones that you are punishing to punish those who are less evil. But look at somebody and say, God doesn't owe you an explanation. God responds in chapter 2. And although I am going to deliver my people, it won't happen now. I'm preaching this. Some of you don't want to hear this because I stopped by to tell you it's coming, but it may not come today. It may not come next week. Can you still give God a praise over a promise? Can somebody in here thank God for what God is going to do, that it may not happen today? Can you still worship him if your breakthrough is not waiting on you when you get home? If your deliverance doesn't happen to you in the next 3 days, is God still good all the time? And all the time, God is good. God tells Habakkuk, it may seem slow. It may seem to be out of reach. But then God says this, it will surely come. Tell somebody it's coming. Oh, but look at verse 3 of chapter 2. The New International Reader's Version. Here's what the text says. God says to Habakkuk, the message I give you waits for the time that I have appointed. It speaks about what's going to happen, and all of it will, here's the part I want you to catch, it will come true. Look at somebody and say, it is going to happen. You didn't say it the way I want it. Tell your neighbor, it is going to happen. It might take a while, but wait for it. You can be sure it will come. It will happen when I want it to. So I looked at this text. Mother Jackson, I looked at this text and I said, Lord, what are you saying to us? And God said, Darryl, there are three key homiletical insights that's in this text that I need you to share with those that are in between miracles. Ooh, you all know what that means, right? You've done it before, but I'm waiting on you to do it again. Is there anybody in here in between miracles? God has already blessed you, but you need a blessing today. You need another mighty move of God. Is there anybody need God to move right now? Somebody in here needs a mighty move of God today. Help me praise God for you and your expectation that God is about to do something. Throw your hands up and say, do it again. First key insight in this text: God operates on his own timeline. Look at what the text, the last sentence of the text says, it will happen when I want it. Some of you need to take that scripture home with you. It will happen. God says, stop bugging me. You prayed for me for the last 10 days. I'm not deaf. I don't have amnesia. I know what you've asked me for. It's going to happen when I get ready for it. And so what am I to do, Pastor, if I've already prayed and it hasn't happened? Praise God until you get it. I'll deal with that at the end. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. New King James says, he has made everything beautiful, but in other words, it's changing, but it's changing in God's own time. Some of you are in a mess that don't look beautiful. In fact, it is not beautiful, but God says it won't always be like this. I am making it beautiful, but I'm doing it in my own in his own time. Look at Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. The A clause says, but when the right time came, God sent his son. Look at somebody and say, when the right time came. God only sent Jesus at the right time. He knew when it was the right time. And then Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, the New Living Translation. We have it for you on the screen. Hopefully we want you to see this. Galatians 6 and verse 9. I love this scripture, for Paul writes these words. He says, so let us not get tired of doing what is good. Now I need you to help me. Look at somebody and say, at just the right time, at just the right, somebody said with me, at just the right time. Look at your neighbor, say, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. When at just the right time, at just the right time. Is there anybody in here with enough patience and enough faith to wait on God's timing? Throw your hands up and say, Lord, when you get ready, move. And don't move until you get ready. And I don't care what I ask you, do it when God gets ready. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. Second key observation and key insight in this text says waiting is a part of the process. If you don't want to wait, then you ought to leave right now. If you don't want to wait, you just find you another God to serve, because waiting is a part of the process. Listen to what the scripture says in the text. It might take a while, but preach to somebody sitting next to you. Say, it might take a while, but wait. And even if it doesn't happen in 2026, Thank God for what he might do on your behalf next year. Somebody ought to shout, I don't mind waiting. It might take a while, but wait on it. As we wait, listen to this. God is developing our faith, strengthening our character. The process, somebody help me say the process. Process is all a part of God's plan. Look what Isaiah 40, verse 31, the A clause said, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The only reason you can make it in 2026 because you trust God in 2025. Somebody in here know that you're stronger than what you used to be. If it doesn't apply to you, you don't have to praise God. But is there anybody in here? No, Lord, I'm stronger than what I used to be. There was a time in my life I could not take what I can take now. There was a time in my life that I would have given up a long time ago. Somebody ought to thank God for the process, because the process made you stronger. Losing that job gave you more patience for the next job. That failed relationship made you better for the next relationship. Woo! Thank you, Lord. But those that wait, okay, the text, upon the Lord shall do what? Shall renew their strength. Text goes on to say, they shall mount up. In other words, you're going to get up. Tell your neighbor, they shall mount up. You don't mount up sitting down. You don't mount up laying down. They shall mount up with wings as of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many of you know that God is working on your deliverance? It is just a part of the process. I have to know that God is not through blessing me yet. Can I prophesy to somebody's life and say the best is still yet to come in your life? No matter how it looks now, God said, I'm working on something with your name on it that's better than anything you have seen before. But you've got to understand, it is the process. Look at somebody and say, it is the process. If you can't embrace the process, you can't receive the blessing of God. Third and the final one said that we must trust God's timing. Here's what the text says. You can be sure. Look at your neighbor and say, you can be sure it may come. Somebody caught it. You can be sure that there is a possibility. That's not what the text says. You can be sure that it will come. Whew. Help me encourage somebody. Say, I am sure that God will do just what he said he will do. God's timing, look at this. God's timing is never too early or too late. Whenever God blesses me, he knows what he's doing. It's never too early or too late. Sometimes we are either too early or too late. Some of you showed up too early for the blessing. Some you showed up too late for the blessing, but not with God. When God decides to bless you, he knows what he's doing. Look at the second part of the third insight. Every future blessing that God has for us has an appointed. I'm speaking to somebody right now. Every future blessing that God has for you with your name on it has an appointed time. He knows when it's the right time to bless you. Can you trust God's timing? Can you trust that whenever God blesses you, it is the right time? Tell your neighbor, neighbor, God knows when to give me what I need the most. And when he does, it is the right time. Can I share with you a scripture that I want to leave with you? Isaiah chapter 60, verses 20 to 22. After the 8 o'clock service, one of our members dropped this in my spirit. In fact, it was your dear wife, Elder Conwell, Sister Charlene, dropped this in my spirit. And she gave me this, and God said, look at what it says. Isaiah 60, verses 20 to 22. I want to read this to you, but I want you to stand to your feet because I want us to rejoice over what God is going to do. God speaks to Israel through the prophet Isaiah, and Israel's suffering. Israel's having a hard time. Second half of the book of Isaiah is the prophetic utterances of God about God's future deliverances. You can't read Isaiah's chapters 40 to 66 without thinking it's in the future. I'm preaching to somebody now. Tell your neighbor, not now, but it's coming. Can you rejoice over this? Look at somebody and say, not right now, but it is coming. Look at what it says. Your sun will never set. Your moon, who am I preaching to? Help me bless somebody. Say, neighbor, your moon will never go down. For the Lord will be your everlasting. Your days of mourning will come to an end. Put a pin right there and look at somebody and say, neighbor, God said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy. Woo! Can we read that again? Look at somebody and say, your days of mourning will to an end. Better days are coming. Come on and thank God. Clap those hands and thank God. Listen. Here's what the text says. They will possess their land forever. God says, for I will plant them there with my own hands in order to bring myself glory. In other words, check this out. God is about to plant you somewhere that God wants you to be. Get ready for relocation. God's going to move you from a place of misery in your life and plant you on fertile ground. Won't he do it? Look at your neighbor and say, yes, he will. Oh, but look at how the text ends. He says through the prophet Isaiah to the people of Israel who were being oppressed by larger, greater numbers, the smallest family will become 1,000 people. And the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. Now, before I read that last sentence, somebody got to help me rejoice over this. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, your little bit will become great. And what is small is about to become large. Somebody's territory is about to be enlarged. Throw your hands up and say, Lord, enlarge my territory. Woo! Can I preach? May I preach this? I need y'all to help me read this last sentence. Grab a neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, the right time, at the right time, the Lord said he will make it happen. Woo! Is there anybody trusting God? Anybody trusting God? Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, at the right time, at the right time, he will make it happen. Woo! Do me a favor. Go wave at somebody. Leave your seat and walk around and wave at somebody. Say, neighbor, when God gets ready, your situation is going to change. When God gets ready, your bad days will turn to good days. Neighbor, when God gets ready, something is about to turn around in your life. At the right time, at the right time, you've got 30 seconds to give God up. Somebody, encourage somebody, say it's going to happen, but at the right time. So somebody asked the question, what shall I do while I wait? Habakkuk answers that in chapter 3 and verse 18. Give you time to get it upstairs. I didn't give you any warning. Chapter 3 and verse 18. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, what shall we do while we wait? Chapter 3, verse 18. Here it is. Grab your neighbor by the hand and say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful. Tell your neighbor you sat by the wrong person on the wrong Sunday, because I've been praying for a blessing and God just gave me my answer. God said it may not happen today or tomorrow or next week, but yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I know how to praise God while I... Praise him. Woo! Come on in. Woo! Tell him, praise him. Come on, team. Tell him, praise him. Leave your seat and meet me at the altar.
Say, praise him. Praise.
Something. I shared with you verse 18 of chapter 3, but I didn't share with you verse 17. For Habakkuk said, even though the fig trees have no blossom, and there are no grapes on the vine, and even though the olive crop fails, and the fields lie empty and barren, and even though the flock have died and there are no cattle in the barn, yet I will rejoice. And anybody can praise God when your barn is full. Anybody can praise God when you got what you want. But can you praise God while you are waiting?
Praise him. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. Praise him. Clap your hands. y'all some bad boys. Yeah, y'all had off. Woo! Y'all gonna make me dance up in here in a minute, okay?
All right, everybody got 30 seconds to put your best dance on what you're waiting for. Come on in. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's coming. Boy, don't y'all make me. Woo! Get you a dance partner. Get you a praise partner. And say, neighbor, if you don't have a reason to praise God with me.
Got to get up out of here. Y'all have made me skip that dance. Woo! Lord have mercy. Lift those hands all over this place. Listen, I want to read to you the last part of the text. And all of it will come true. Can I speak prophetically in somebody's life? And all of it, I want to add this, and all of this will come true. It might take a while, but wait for it. Yeah. Look at somebody and say, it might take a while, but wait for it. You can be sure it will come. And here's what God said. It will happen. Here's what the Lord said. Here's what the Lord said. It will happen when I want it. thank you. Woo! Mother, those words bless me. I was at your house yesterday in my father's study, and I was reading those words. God told me it's going to happen. It's going to happen when I want it to. Look at God. My sister Thea is standing up here today. Stand, baby. This is just the beginning of what God is going to do. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on you, Lord. I'm not sure when it's going to happen, but I don't mind waiting. Lord, I don't mind. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. See, you got to know why I'm so happy. Because I was there when the doctors looked at us and said, she may not ever get out of this bed. You'll be lucky if she ever leaves this hospital. Massive bleed on her brain that she won't don't ever expect her to be the same. Woo. And God said, he's right, she's going to be better. Okay, yeah. Woo. But you've got to wait. Come on.
Don't mind waiting.
Somebody lift those hands and say,
don't mind waiting.
Only if you mean it. Lord, I don't
mind waiting.
I don't mind waiting
on the Lord.
Oh, I don't
mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on the Lord.
We're about to go, but before we go, we want to have this altar experience right now. To those of you that are joining us virtually, to those of you that are joining us by way of radio, man, you can call us. You can call in right now. You're in your season of waiting. It's coming. It's coming. One more time, I don't mind.
I don't mind waiting.
Somebody ought to tell them I don't.
I don't mind waiting.
You have been listening to the worship service of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off Interstate 77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services right here on the radio. We are also streaming live on our website at bwcar.org, on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you missed any of our services or want to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place an order for a CD or DVD of today's sermon titled Grateful for God's Timing, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 07-1926. Again, that telephone number is 803-776-1238. Sermon number 07-1926. August is Children and Youth Month at Bible Way, and the theme for the month is B-I-G, Being Intentionally Grateful, based on Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. All events and services are open to the youth of the church and the community. To see a complete list of activities for the month of August, please visit online at bwcar.org. Our annual Back to School Haircuts and Styles event is happening Monday, August 3rd, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road Youth Development Center. For additional information and to schedule an appointment for your youth, please sign up online at bwcar.org. Walk-ins are also welcome. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by clicking the link on our website at bwcar.org, or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to the number 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please do not mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. We thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.